to the Lord once again. And God's grace is enough. And that's what we'll sing about right now.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy, and nothing can keep us apart.
Grace is enough to cover you. Isn't that awesome news? All right. Well, we face challenges once in a while, don't we? Every now and then, there's those hurdles that get in the way. And you're like, I don't know if I'm going to make it over that one. I was watching a kid at cross country in Great Falls. We have the college races first, and then the high school comes later, and all these high school guys were sitting around, and the one guy was looking at the little flags that they quarter things off, and he's like, I know I can hurdle that, guys. And I'm thinking, you, boy, you could try that. That'll be a good show. I've seen those guys crash and burn. You know how guys like to show off, right? Well, that's not exactly the hurdle I'm talking about. But sometimes things just come at us, and we don't know how are we going to get through this one? And yet God is so awesome to help us, to give us insight and just to love us through it all. And so this is the time when we lean on him, to look to him for guidance. And that's what this song is about. I'm going to hold on to him. I'm holding on to you, Lord.
There's no space that his love can't reach. There's no place where we can't find peace. There's no end to amazing grace. Take me in with your arms spread wide. Take me in like an orphan child. Never let go, never leave my side. Storm, I'm holding on, I am resurrection song. This is my hallelujah come. This is why it's to you I run.
We're so thankful that we can hold on to you in all the things we face. The storms of life, they become so small. And you quiet the storm by your still small voice. Thank you, Lord, for being with us through the challenges that we face. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray over the offering now and just ask God to bless the giving that helps the ministries to continue forth. Lord God, thank you for the privilege it is to give. We're thankful that we have that opportunity here in person. We're thankful for the online opportunity for those that prefer that as a method for giving. Some who can't make it here in person, use that for your glory, and we're thankful for that. We want to see your kingdom come and your will to be done. And the provisions that come from your people, from the faithfulness of your children, makes it possible. So I would just pray, Lord God, a blessing on each and every one as we give in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes it's not such an easy thing to accept that we're not able to win a battle. We just talked about leaning on God through the storms. But sometimes we fight him instead of the storm. And this song is about giving up that fight. Recognizing, you're not going to win this one. And so we're going to raise our white flag and surrender. Surrender to him. It's the only way that you'll ever find peace and true joy.
The battle rages on. The storm and tempest roar. We cannot win this fight. Inside our rebel hearts, we're laying down our weapons now. We raise our white flag. We surrender all to you, all for you. We raise our white flag. The war is over. Love has come. Your love has won. Here on this holy ground, you made a way for peace. Body down, you took our rightful place. This freedom song is marching on. We raise our white flag, we surrender all to you, all for you. We raise our white flag, the war is over. Thank you. it high, lift it high. We lift the cross, lift it high, lift it high. We lift the cross, lift it high, lift it high. We lift the cross, lift it high, lift it high. We lift the cross, lift it high, lift it high. We lift the cross, lift it high, lift it high. We lift the cross, lift it high, lift it high. We lift the cross, lift it high, lift it high. We raise our white flag, we surrender all to you, all for you. We raise our white flag, the war is over, love has come, your love has won. We raise our white flag, we surrender all to you, all for you. We raise our white flag, the war is over.
Let him win this one. He just wants you to know his love, to receive his peace and his joy, his saving grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we're thankful that we can trust in you in all things. And you don't let us win those battles as you continue to seek us, to love us, even when we're not willing to submit. Your love never changes. And so I pray, if there's anyone that has not submitted to you yet, they will do so even yet today. To throw up that white flag and say, I surrender, Lord. I give it all to you. It's all yours. I honor you with my life. I honor you with my heart, with my joy, with my plans, with my love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? Could fathom such boundless grace. The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me His own. to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me.
For saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your life, to join you in what you're doing, to be a part of your family. Wow. What a gracious privilege it is. Hallelujah. Lord, I know there's many needs represented in this body. Some who are dealing with extreme sickness, cancer, some who are dealing with just emotional scars and pain, some are dealing with financial burdens that seem overwhelming, some just don't know what it is. There's just this emptiness, there's this lack, this hollowness that only you can fill. Whatever it is that is being faced at this moment, we know that you are still God. You are King. You're the Lord and the Savior. And there is that friendship that you speak of. But Lord, in it all, we must trust you. And so we turn these needs to you. We turn them over and put them into your hands. And pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know that you'll provide for our needs as we trust in you, as we seek first your kingdom. And so, Lord, I lift up the needs of your people. We ask for a miracle. We ask for your intervention. We ask for peace and joy and strength. That's supernatural. That's completely unattached to the circumstance. And Lord, we just ask that you will be God in this situation. As you prayed that prayer with me, I believe God has heard you. He's heard your cry. He knows your need. Trust him.
The Lamb who was slain, holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Thank you, Jesus. If you have that word from the Lord, you can share it at this time. Maybe this is your first time sharing. It's okay. Might be just a few words. Jesus, Jesus. The Lord has a peace that he wants to give to you. It's only a peace that he can give. You're not going to find it in this world. It's his to give. I encourage you to receive this peace. Embrace the Lord God with love. Accept his love. And find what your heart's longing for. Your heart aches for it. You will find it in him. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we're thankful that we can find your peace and your joy. And I thank you for sharing with us today. Thank you for listening to our heart's cry. And we bless you and give you our love. In Jesus' name, we all together said, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated today. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be together, to bless him, to honor him. Just going to share just a couple brief announcements, and then we're going to dismiss the kids for BGMC. Excuse me, I got a tickle in my throat. I'm quite certain it's allergy-type symptoms, but we'll deal with that. We do have a very special pot blessing happening today. We don't believe in luck when it comes to food. I disregard potlucks completely. I only go for the blessings. So you know my story. We're going to do a farewell. So I have mixed feelings about it. I'm excited and anxious to see what God is going to do for the Curtises as they move to Haver. But we are going to miss them tremendously here. And we're going to honor them with a special fellowship after the service. And I'm actually going to ask them to come up and receive a gift from the church, if you're okay with doing that as well, before we move much further. But I just wanted to point out a couple other things. You have a bulletin. So far, we're still making that printed bulletin for you. I've heard a few responses from I wasn't using it as a threat, but it's amazing how many times I've heard people say, well, I didn't know that was happening. Well, it's been in the bulletin for 4 weeks now. And so it's like, they're not being read, so why are we printing them? And so anyway, we always have access through the website and also through the app. And this is just one more avenue that we still have. And so the Real Gals meeting, the Common Ground Youth, overnight trip to Dickinson, chili feed and auction, where to bring your stuff, what we're looking for. New Life Youth Activity Day, all of that stuff is there for you. So please take the time to look at it and put it into your agenda for the week. And with that, I would like for Greg and Emma to come. And we want to just pray a blessing. And if I could have the board members come as well, if you wouldn't mind, guys. Let's just pray a blessing. You can stand up front here, I think, if that works for you. And Pastor Emma, you have been a tremendous help in ministry here for so many years. And Greg, you have as well. Don't think that you've gone unnoticed because you've been both noticed very much. And if you could turn and face the congregation. And we're just going to pray a blessing on you guys. We're going to miss you, but we know that God's not finished with you yet. Amen? Amen. And if you think that's the case, listen closely to the message today. because we have a responsibility to fulfill the call of God in our lives. The call may change in its detail, but the call itself is always there. Amen? And so we're going to miss them greatly, but we know that God has great things in store, and so we'll pray a blessing
upon them. So let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for how you have used this couple to impact so many people. We're thankful for Greg and his willingness to serve in so many ways, to help with facility and construction and different helps through the ministries to the seniors of our community. And for Pastor Emma sharing the word and using her talent with song and just being there for us and being there for other churches that have needed pulpit supply. We know that the impact that has been given through you is eternal. And so we are thankful for that. And we honor and bless them as they go into a new home with new ministry outlooks before them. And I pray, Lord God, that you will bless this church that they're going to. Bless their son as he leads that ministry in the church as well. We know that he's doing your work. And we just pray for your anointing and your blessing to go forth in a powerful and wonderful way. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. We will have more opportunity to put them on the spot later on at the fellowship time, so be sure to participate with the meal and enjoy that as well. So thank you. Thank you so much. It's going to be weird not having them around. I don't know about you guys, but it's going to be different. So I'm going to ask for the... You want to say something? Well, I didn't give you that opportunity, did I? Do you want a microphone?
No, I'll speak
out. Okay, well, there's internet people listening. They might want you to be speaking with a microphone. All right, let me see if I can make this one stretch. Or you might have to come up here, Pastor Emma. We might have to make you walk up those stairs here. There we go.
I get to thank you all. This church has supported me in my ministry, has encouraged me, helped me to be what God wanted me to be while I've been here, and I thank you, every one of you. I know you prayed for me and held me up so that I could do what God wanted me to do, and I appreciate every one of you, and I'm going to miss you very much. I wanted to remind you all that you have a wonderful pastor and associate pastor. And the month of October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And I can tell you that because I'm no longer a pastor here. I'm not tooting my own horn. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Somehow I knew she was going to do something like that. But this is Greg and Emma's day, so thank you so much. There you go. And I'm pretty sure the kids give up here as well. Is that right? Is that how we normally do it? Or do you also give a offering for BGMC downstairs? Ooh. All right. So the kids can be dismissed to go with Beth for BGMC. And I think Doug's already on the way down. And you have a great lesson today. We'll see who wins. I don't know, do they weigh the offering? That always bothered me when I was a kid. We would have contests, and we'd put dollar bills in that didn't weigh nothing. And all the girls would put a bunch of coins in, and they'd win because it was heavier. I think that's unfair. Anybody else with me on that? Yeah, there we go. We had people from the church that would buy the rolls of quarters and just come, boom, and they put them in there. And that was like, hey, wait a minute, that's the same as that, but it doesn't weigh the same. So I don't know. We'll just trust that they're doing it fairly downstairs. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is where we're going, and we're going to talk about faithful to the call. I kind of gave you that forewarning. It's one of these messages that I'm like, Lord, this is such elementary common sense stuff. Why am I going to share such a simple message? And yet, I think, honestly, if we can figure out how to do the simple things, the difficult things come so much easier. And I think God is just challenging me to bring, yes, challenging messages, but sometimes the simplicity of the word is overlooked. And we need to accept that it's simple and yet profoundly difficult at times. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. I want to pause there just briefly. There is this assumption and a tendency of the common man to think that that is meant for preachers, meaning pastors. That's not the full embracing honest truth. All of us are called to be evangelists in one way or another. All of us are called to share our faith. And so when I see the word preaching here, I want you to know it's including you, not just me. All right? So it says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine. And I got to turn my page here. Sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the challenge. We are certainly living in a time where this word that was prophetic has come to pass. There's no doubt that we are living in a time when doctrine and teachings of truth are being distorted and perverted. And people are gathering around themselves as many as they can to support their so-called idea of truth. And it's destroying our world. But it must not and cannot destroy us. It must not and cannot destroy the message. May we be equipped by truth, by knowledge and understanding of your word, and may we be equipped with your courage to share it faithfully with others. They need to know how much you love them. They need to know, Lord, how much you have given of yourself so that you can have a relationship with the one who is lost, one who is just like me before I came to you. I pray, Lord God, your anointing on us all to hear this, to accept it and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember being dumbfounded not too long ago when I was in Sunday school class and I was teaching the adult class at the time, and this was a previous church, where we were discussing the issues of a political decision that the community was going to vote upon. And I use that word political with a little bit of a salt, a grain of salt, if you will, because honestly, there are some things that we call political that aren't political. They're ethical. They're based on truth of ethics and morals. And so here we were having a discussion. There was two different things that came up. One was about gay marriages. Another thing that was a hot topic that's been for quite some time is abortion. And we had an opportunity to vote for our community and our state about whether or not abortions would be performed on children up to a certain age. I mean, to me, a child is a child is a child is a child. But we had an opportunity to limit abortions that were late term. And we got into a pretty heavy discussion about it. And what shocked me was what came through that, because everyone around this group and this table, from my understanding, was a true believer in Jesus Christ. And the point was made very clearly, I do not have the right to tell somebody else what to do with their body. And I was a little perplexed by that. Okay, wait a minute now. So you're believing that this is not the right thing. You believe that a child that is taken from the womb early is murder, is killing a child. And yet you're not going to force your beliefs on somebody else. Is that what I understand? Yes, that's exactly it. And I said, well, I don't think I should have to drive 65. I think I should be able to drive 90 when I want to and not break any laws. And actually, I don't think that I should force my agenda on somebody else, that if they're angry enough that they don't have a right to kill somebody. I mean, really, you ticked me off, so I should have the right to shoot you now. Well, that's not the same thing, is it, or isn't it? Is this not murder when I shoot somebody with a gun? I can't justify that and say, well, I was angry enough, or they were causing so much discomfort in my life, I just had to take them out. Who am I to tell you you don't have the right to do the same thing? That you can shoot somebody if you're mad enough, or if they make you feel uncomfortable enough. I mean, you have that right. No, you don't. That's against the law. Well, that's politics. Well, is it? We need to make a choice. We need to choose who we're going to serve. And if we're going to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we need to stand by truth. Even if it's politically incorrect, you can stand on the Word of God and His truth. Now, that doesn't mean you do it obnoxiously. I didn't get... Oh, there is an amen, huh? Woo-hoo! Got me worried there. That doesn't mean you do it rudely and not with love. We need to stand on truth and do so with love. But here's a story, and I cannot verify if this is a true story, but it's told that there was a soldier during the Revolutionary War, not the Revolutionary, the Civil War, who couldn't decide on which side to fight. That he had family and friends on both sides, north and south. And so he put on a north pair of pants, I believe it was, and a south jacket, and he was kind of mixed up. And he made his way across the center of this opposing armies to declare himself neutral. Not a good idea. Because the story is told that they shouted out to him and harassed him and were angry with this person that could not choose a side. And they kept yelling at him, "Whose side are you on?" And he said, "I'm on neither side." And so what ended up happening is they all shot him. I can't verify if it's true, but it's told as if it was true. Are we going to choose a side? And are we going to be faithful to the call of God, regardless of whether or not we lose a friend over it, whether or not we are politically incorrect by our assessment of what is true and what is not true? You always know there should be a red flag when somebody asks you, what's your truth? Here's what my truth is. What's your truth? We have just gone beyond the actual meaning of a word. Truth is not negotiated. It either is or it isn't. When I say I'm standing on truth, I'm talking about the absolute truth. Are we standing for truth? And what are we doing with our call in this culture of which we have today? I preached a whole series on the Soterian or the Salvation Culture Church. And it has negatively affected our understanding of what it means to be a follower of Christ. In essence, we have created, in a sense, a wishy-washy society of moderate believers who have Jesus as their Savior, meaning I have Jesus in my heart, but they're not willing to lay down their life for Him. That's the kind of culture we have developed. The Apostle Paul leaves no room for discussion on what we must do as believers, as followers of Christ. Preach the gospel. Be true to what is true. You could look to Joshua 24, verse 14 through 15. And I believe we have that on the overhead. "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We've all heard this many, many, many times. And yet, have we applied it to our lives in such a way that we are faithfully following God and fulfilling the call of God in our lives? Sharing your faith with somebody should not be optional. It shouldn't be something that you decide on whether or not you will. If anything, it's deciding how you're going to share your faith. What avenue will I accomplish this call in my life? How can I be faithful to being a servant of God in all ways? The reason our culture has become so distorted and so perverted is not because of the world. It's because of the church that we have come to this place in our world today. We don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Now, you might be able to say, well, I've always voted properly and rightfully in every opportunity I've had, and that is great. Because individuals within the church have been faithful. And I hope and I pray that you are part of that. But when we talk about the church in general, how much have we really accomplished by segregating ourselves and not interacting with the world? How successful have we been to maintain a culture of God in our world by totally separating from the world? We need to assess some of this. How many non-saved friends do you have? How many opportunities do you have to interact with your non-saved friends? Have you looked for opportunities to build friendships with people that don't know the Lord? Or are you obsessed with only gathering with other Christians? It seems to me, and this might be an unfair thought, but growing up in a wonderful family, in a great church, in a rural, set apart, out in the middle of nowhere kind of community, I found myself more concentrating on how to stay away from the world than I found I was being trained on how to interact with the world. Don't go to parties, don't date girls that are involved with stuff. Maybe even don't date. That's my stand. Here's my quick version. If you can see yourself physically, emotionally, spiritually, as being a married person 6 months from now, you're ready to start dating. And I believe that's accurate and true. If you are literally in that position, you're ready to start dating. If you can't see yourself as being a married person 6 months from now, then you shouldn't be dating. You should be having friends. Get to know the opposite sex. That's great. Have group dates. Have fun together as a group. But if you're segregating into dating relationships and you're still at an age where you cannot fathom being married, then you shouldn't be dating. Because what dating of today does, it teaches you how to be divorced. That's the very, very short version, by the way. Are you willing to stand up for truth? Are you willing to be unpopular and strange and called all kinds of names because you're one of those people? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And this is a statement from a person who feels obligated not only to serve the Lord for himself, but one who says, I will lead my family in such a way that they too will serve the Lord. We need to be faithful to the call and not give in to the politics of our world, not give in to the culture of our world, and recognize and know that there is such a thing as truth. It sounds so simple, and yet sometimes it's quite hard. I find it interesting, oftentimes I'm in discussions with people about how much of this can I do and still be saved? How far can I go in this direction and still be saved? And I want to ask, and I do, in case you're wondering, why are you asking me how close to the line you can get when you should be asking how can I get further away from it? Can I do this and still be saved? Well, we can discuss that. We can really get deep into here, but I'm wondering why you want to be closer to the world than God. Why is that your agenda? Why are you driven to do something that is questionable and debatable, when you really should be concentrating on how you can live such a life following God that there is no doubt about your faith, there's no question that you love Him? But that's the salvation culture church we have developed. We have this idea that He's my friend and I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but the idea that He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Master, He was the one that, or is the one that calls the shots. He's the one that tells me how I should live my life. That's foreign to us. Like, you can't tell me what to do. Well, yes, I can. It's the Word of God. You see, the false doctrines and the teachings that want to scratch your ears are not the Satanists in our community. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about church people. We're talking about pastors of churches. We're talking about deacons and teachers of Sunday school. We're talking about the people within the borders of these walls. Now, I'm not saying you're teaching false doctrine, but this message is for you because it says, preach the word. Hold on to truth. Don't give up the culture of what you think is politically correct in order to make it by. No, you stand on the word of God. I'm not afraid of what Satan does in this world. I'm afraid of what believers are doing in this world. I'm serious. I'm not going to go to the level that I could care less what Satan wants to do, but in a way, I'm almost there. I really am. He is not that big. But the church is humongous. What are we doing to stand for truth? What are we doing to accomplish God's call in our lives? What have you done for Him lately? There's a song that's not Christian that's similar to those words. Well, I don't want to promote her. Yeah, you know, all the 80s people are going, oh, the 80s music. Pastor Jason loves 80s music, by the way. So let's move through this real somewhat quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. What does that mean? That means when somebody comes to you and has a question about your faith, you're prepared in your spirit and your heart to give them an answer. That doesn't mean that suddenly I get a call Saturday night and the person that was going to preach for me isn't ready and I better have a message ready tomorrow morning. I mean, that does apply, but that's not the point of this message, is it, Pastor Emma? Because she did that for me when I was under COVID restrictions. Hey, you got a message? Because I can't preach. And she was very faithful to step in. I think I gave you almost 2 days. That's enough. First John chapter 2, verse 6. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Okay. Be prepared in season and out of season. In other words, if you're walking like Jesus walks, you'll be all right. Think about what Jesus did as He's on this earth. Think about how He lived His life, how He walked this earth, how He taught, how He loved. He broke all the rules of the politically correct, for sure. And the people loved Him for it. Live your faith in the same way He did. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Another great passage of Scripture. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for you a reason for the hope that is in you, and do it with gentleness and respect. It's a different translation than I memorized, so I stumbled a little bit over it. But the fact of the matter remains. I need to be prepared to give reason for the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. If I'm walking as Jesus does, I'll be prepared. If somebody looks at my life and questions my love and questions my faith, it's not because of critical thinking. It's because there's a chance I'm not living what I say I believe. James addressed it. I don't have the reference, but he says, you say you have faith. I'll show you my faith by what I do. I've had discussions with people that aren't born again that have talked not very flatteringly about church people. And they've said things to this nature that Christians are the only one that kills their wounded. God forbid that ever happens here. Jesus said they'll know you by how you love one another. How are you doing on the loving? How are you doing on forgiving? You realize you can't love someone you can't forgive. And that's a problem. How do we do this? How do we preach the word? How do we always be prepared? How do we do so with gentleness and respect? Well, 2 Timothy 4:2, it's also telling us that we do this with great patience, with careful instructions, gentleness, respect as part of how we share the gospel. Verse 16 of 1 Peter chapter 3, I didn't read that yet, it says, having a good conscience so that when you are slandered, those who revel your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. In other words, you're going to lovingly share your faith with somebody and somebody else isn't going to like it. They're going to slander you, say bad things about you, basically persecute you as best they can. But because you are doing the work of God faithfully and you truly do love, there is something that's going to happen in that situation. They're the ones that will look dumb. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen where somebody who was just this wonderful person, this God-loving person, was being accused of a horrible thing, and the person that wasn't even saved knew them and said, that's dumb. There's no possible way that's what that person is doing. A worldly person, lost person, wanted to slander another believer, and another non-believer put them in their place because they know the truth of who that person is. May that be you. May it be so. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and verse 4. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They'll turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. There has already been an attack on the church, and it's been happening for quite some time. And when I use the word church, I am using it quite broadly. One of my first shocking experiences as a pastor in a community was to recognize that as we're talking about our faith in God, some people who were serving as pastors from other churches didn't actually have faith in God. They had faith in a system. Faith in a good works to help the community kind of thing. Literally said, I was choosing between social services and being a pastor, but the benefits for the pastor were much better, so that's what I chose. I had a couple questions about that. At the time, one of those questions was, how in the world would you put yourself in this position in the first place if you're not called by God? Because it's not fun sometimes. That was one of my thoughts. The other one was, what kind of package you got going that I don't have? But that was personal and selfish. Really? You're doing better with that? What? That was like dumbfounding to me. We had an opportunity to do a VBS together, which I like doing those things. I like coming together as churches, doing community events. And we were picking out the curriculum, and we picked it out. And it was really good. Everybody was really excited about it. The pastor took it back to their leadership board, and they said, no, we don't want to do anything like that. We don't want anything that has anything to do with born again. Okay? Shocker. We don't want to teach those kids about having Jesus in their life by the born again experience. I was amazed. So this is not a new problem. But what's shocking to me now is that what I thought was only reserved for people in certain church situations has now become an attack on our Assembly of God churches. Things that I never thought we would be challenged with are things that are happening. Not that they're being successful. But it's not as easy to define truth, even in what I think is a good church, the Assemblies of God. We are not a perfect church. There is no such thing, by the way. I think we are a good church. I think there are many good churches that believe in God, have a born-again experience, and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the people that are serving God in these churches that are good are being attacked by the world constantly. And I thought something that was invincible, I'm starting to wonder if we really are at times. We must continually have our guards up and recognize the attack of the enemy. How does he do this? How is he accomplishing it? Well, 2 Corinthians tells us. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13 to verse 15. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. Satan is not going to show himself to us in his true ugly form. When he attacks the church, when he attacks our belief, when he attacks our doctrine, when he attacks truth, he is attacking us as an angel of light, and he looks good. He looks enticing. He looks like he's truth, and he's not. He is a deceiver. Did you know that more than 50%, I believe it's closer to 70% of our own young people in the Assembly of God and believing churches, all the good churches I was referencing that preach the full gospel, almost 70% of our teens believe there's more than one way to the Father? They believe that there's more than one way than through Jesus Christ? That's not churches that don't preach the full gospel. That's our churches. They think, well, if you're good enough, God will let you in. Or if you're sincere in your faith, when you're wrong, he'll say, oh, well, I guess he tried. I'll bring him in anyway. No, you are damned to hell if you don't have Jesus Christ as your King of Kings. That's the truth. But that sounds so unloving, yeah. There is one way. One, Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Period. End of discussion. No wavering, no waffling. This is truth. Well, that's so narrow-minded. I mean, what if you're raised in a home that's Buddhist? What if you're raised in a Muslim environment? What if you're raised in this or that or the other thing? Well, God will find you as you're finding Him. Did you know that the most rapid growing church in the world today is not happening here in America? Did you know that we are declining in America? And we have more access to the truth than any other nation in the world. Where is the truth being preached and taught, and exponentially it's growing and people are coming to faith? It's happening where they could die. It's happening where if they get caught, they'll be executed. It's happening where their children will be taken from them as slaves and sold on the slave trading block in the sex trade. This is where it's happening, where the church is growing exponentially, where their lives are in danger. They get it. They know darkness. They know truth when it's staring them in the face, and they can't get saved fast enough because they've never known what love is. They've never known what it means to lay your head at night and on your pillow and go to sleep, knowing you could die, but knowing if you die, you wake up in the presence of Almighty God. They would rather give their life for that than to have all the comforts that we have and enjoy. So 2 Timothy, going back to our text, verse 5, tells us to keep our head. Don't lose your minds. It's simple. Just serve God faithfully. Don't waver from truth and doctrines that you know are sound. Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Hallelujah, amen. Been there, done that. Now, this specific situation is when Jesus is trying to pray through that terrible moment before he is turned over into the hands of the enemy, and he soon dies on a cross. And his disciples, his beloved, that are with him, he says, hey, pray for me. Just stay awake long enough to pray for me. This is what's going on. And they're like, fell asleep. And so he comes and he tells them to wake up. And he calls it for what it is. This is a spiritual thing. You're thinking it's physical, that you're just tired, but no, it's more than that. It's a spiritual attack. You need to be aware. How many times have you fallen asleep at the wheel, thinking it's just you, not realizing the enemy's on the move? We don't need to be afraid of him, but we do need to stay awake. Don't be caught sleeping. And so Jesus gives them that word, and I think it applies in general for all of us. We also need to stand firm. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. I like this one. It says, be faithful or watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men. Now, all you ladies, you're not off the hook. Sorry. Be strong. But that just resonated, and I actually had a little chuckle in my office when I got to that verse. And I'm like, act like a man. How many times have I heard that growing up? Oh, suck it up. You're not hurt. You want hurt? I'll give you hurt. No, Dad, you didn't do that. Well, maybe. Maybe a little. You want something to cry about? I'll give you something to cry about. I know he said that. I know he said that. And that wasn't an empty threat. He loved me enough to put it where it needs to be. And that's okay. I had it coming, I know. But sometimes we're so wishy-washy, so uncommitted, so waffly and not sure. Just stop. Just stop. Stand up. Shake off the dust. Get up and try again. Get back on that horse. Don't let him win. You'll never break that horse if you let him win. Yeah. So it didn't work out that time. Try another time. Act like a man. That seems like such a wrong thing to say, and here's God telling me, act like a man. And ladies, don't act like men. Don't act like us, please. We've got enough of our own troubles. We don't need you acting like us. But I can tell you to be courageous and be strong. And I know you can do that. Because the message is for all of us. Even though the example might be targeting us, because we're the ones that struggle the most to really stand up and make it known. Ladies, I think you put us to shame at times. But we can do it. We can make the decision and act like men and be strong and courageous and face down whatever it is we're facing. And so I want to claim that for all of you guys, we can do this. Amen. And so let's close with 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 through 7. I don't believe I read that yet. Oop, I'm going the wrong way. We'll get there. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Don't you love that? The Apostle Paul, nearing his dying breath, as his execution is at hand, recognizes it as so and realizes he's done it. He's accomplished and finished the call of God on his life, and his days are numbered. So until that day, until you can say along with him, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, until you're with him in that same manner, keep preaching. Keep teaching, keep fighting, keep the faith. Don't stop. Don't stop. You got this. We can all do this until God calls us home. Amen? Would you stand with me as we close? No matter where you are in life, this message is still the same. I think about me as a kid. I could have received this, learned, and grew from it. I think about when I was a teenager. It definitely was applicable for me then. As a young pastor starting out, going through my first experiences. And now as I get older, I'm still not old. I'll let you know when I get there. Kids say I'm a boomer. I keep correcting them because I'm a literalist. No, I'm not a boomer. That's my dad. I'm an X generation. But they think I'm a boomer. That's okay. Even as a boomer, even though I'm not a boomer, the call is still the same. It doesn't change. Doesn't change. My life has changed a lot, but the call never does. So let's pray wherever we are, wherever you are, let's receive that to heart, shall we? Lord God, thank you. Thank you for helping us to see the importance of the call, that we must be faithful to it, to always preach the whole truth, teach the truth. Don't let this culture win. We want you to be victor in our lives. And for the sake of those who are lost that need you, may we be gentle and respectful as we share our love with them, that they too can find this joy and peace. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Please make your way downstairs for a wonderful blessing of fellowship and food.